This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is her office. When she comes from school, this is her office. She takes some papers on this pen and she starts working.
They won't do that then.
Yes.
What's your name, huh?
I didn't even see you under there.
What's your name?
Hello.
How is your granddaughter?
Yes.
What class are you in, Nasreen? What class are you in?
Are you at big school? Pre-primary. I said the most beautiful words of welcome in any language.
It's welcome.
No, not welcome. It's in Arabic.
Oh yeah.
He says Ahlan wa sahlan.
Ahlan
wa sahlan.
Wa sahlan.
Wa sahlan. Ahlan means we are a family. Just think that we are a member of the family.
Yeah.
And sahlan means we are enemies.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, think that these are all one family members. You want to pick your nose? Go ahead. No problem. You don't have to put up some action or fire. I'm sitting before some, the Pope, you know.
I'm wondering if I'm on camera.
The offices are beautiful.
I was just explaining to my wife. Oh, she's taping everything I say. Look, tape recorders.
She's got two tapes, eh?
Yeah,
two. Sure.
That's right.
Alright, I'll bring one too. Amazing, sir. Amazing thing. While we're sitting and chatting, some idea comes to you. And in that type of atmosphere, you do some of the big business.
That's right.
I'm not interested in that. Love you from our treasurer.
Yes.
And you want to know whether we are in the market. And he told you no.
That's right.
No lies.
That's right.
But in the meantime, we got some communication.
That's right.
So we phoned you.
That's right.
I think it was the same day.
It was the day after.
I spoke to you on Thursday.
Yes, that
On Friday.
That's right.
Look, come. We're going to talk business.
What happened is a benefactor in the Middle East decided to make a donation to the Islamic Propagation Center. And he faxed or phoned through and said, I want to make a donation. But the day before, John had spoken to the treasurer and they said, no, we haven't got any money at the moment to buy anything, we're not looking. And the very next day, the benefactor phoned. So Ahmed got his son, Yosef, to ring me. And he rang me. Hello, how's it going, Angie?
Hello.
You are.
This is my wife, John.
This is Angie.
It's Anthony, Mr. Angie. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
My wife, Anthony Spall.
How was that good, gentlemen?
Can I get you a chair?
So now we want to know each other better.
Yes.
See, as it is, we are so close, most especially we Muslims, to the Jews and the Christians. We are the closest to the Jew.
In what way?
In our concept of the divinity. The Jew says that God Almighty is absolutely unique. He has no partners, he has no sons. God is not seen at any time. No man can see God and live. And we give our hand of acceptance to the Jew that we believe as we believe. The Jew says no eating of the flesh of swine. We say we won't eat it. He says no eating of blood. We say we won't touch it. He says circumcision. We say we are circumcised. What do we want? We would say that Islam is Judaism made universe. It's the same religion on the universe. We in the house of Islam believe in all the Jewish prophets as our prophets and all the heroes as our heroes. I'm not talking about the modern ones. We don't bear at war. I'm talking about the biblical. Moses, David, Solomon, Jesus. All the Jewish prophets are our prophets. We accept them all. the only real difference is Jehovah accepts one of ours. It's an irony. We accept all the Jewish prophets as our prophets, they won't accept one of ours.
Muhammad.
That's all. The strife in the Middle East is political. It's not religious. It's not racial.
And I'm so pleased to hear you say that, because when I heard that this one of your Islamic leaders at the Cape has now declared it to be a holy war, how can one justify a political invasion like that to be a holy war?
Right.
And let's also take a play on words. How can a war be holy anyway?
That would be on another level.
Yeah.
Okay, discuss. I'm not with what they say. This war is not a holy war. What's going on now? It's not a holy war.
Yes.
But there can be holy war.
Yes.
Like we have been fighting for peace, 1948 and 1914.
Yes.
So many million of our young men died for truth and justice, for peace. So now, if that, you defend your own country. Hitler was attacking Britain. And now you're defending yourself. And now the only way that you extend your hostilities, like Gibbon, the master historian, he says, man has a right to defend his person and his position, and to extend his hostility, reasonable amount of satisfaction and retaliation. Every human being has that right to defend himself, his person, his position, and no turning the other cheek. There is a beautiful philosophy. See? But now I want to know who's turning the other cheek.
That's right.
Who wins? Now, so on that basis, I was telling you, my good British people when I went there, I said, you see, turning the other cheek, you good Christians, you should have told Hitler. He said, look, what you are in, what come, welcome. You want to take over Britain? Britain, yes. Come and take it over. In our empire as well, you know, turn the other cheek. If a man takes your coat, give him your cloak also.
That's
our
right.
Empire. I said, did you do that? He says, no. I said, why didn't you? Good Christian. What you did was like, fight them on the beaches. You know, with those guns. I said, you are just here. That's a holy war. Holy defense of your country, your nation, your position. You have kept it. Whether one side is wrong or right, what happened, what not. But now, in your mind, it's a holy thing that you're doing. The right thing, righteous thing, is holy. So that you're doing something holy, defending yourself. And in the process, you're going to kill the other guy. You've got to, otherwise he's going to kill you. So what can you do? So but now with our Jewish cousins, our problem is that we're so bad. Palestine. My brothers, the Arabs say Palestine belongs to us, and my cousins, the Jews, they say Palestine belongs to us. So we are both fighting for a piece of land. It's not a fight, what, a war over religion, or it's not a war over race. The Jew doesn't say kill the Arab because he's a Muslim. Or the Arab doesn't say kill the Jew because he's a Jew. No, he said, you took my land. They're both fighting for it.
So but all wars are about it's land.
So right or wrong, yeah. On either side, they're both fighting for a piece of land where we can. I mean, it's a talk. But that's what people don't want to do. We don't want to talk. We can differ. But I want you to see my point of view. That's all. At the end of it, it is, well, Mr. Dean, I see your point of view. But, I'm sorry, I don't agree.
I mean, you must agree that there'll come a time when, if you cannot resolve it by talking,
right.
What do you do?
Right. I just had this page opened up here.
Right.
I was explaining to somebody else, I'm sorry. It kills you here, the solution.
Right.
I was talking to the other guy, and so it's still open to the same place. It says here, if two parties among the believers fall into a quarrel, make ye peace between them. But if one of them transgresses beyond bounds against the other, then fight ye all against the one that transgresses until it complies with the command of God. That's what is just and right.
That's very clear.
Between another, or between a family, or between individuals, we are to make peace. So now to make peace, I'm going to listen to you both.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I listen to you, I listen to him, then I tell you, I said, look, sister, in this case, yeah, what brings you? Compromise, you know, come to terms. I think, you know, it's the meal is falling in the right. Now, you could listen because you are too strong. So in that case, all of us now must get together to put you right.
Yes.
The United Nations. It's a joint decision. All of you get together and put the guy right.
Saddam went this.
Right. So, took it out. The thing is, when you say holy war, my people, emotion. We are all talking from emotions. And this is one of the basic you see, we are taking steps on that basis of emotions and hatred. We hate the Middle East. Not on the Middle East, the people, me personally. I like the people. Because they are big and strong, and we can talk to them, and have a debate with them, and we can pull them over, they recognize. No, but they recognize that no, you have a point there. Now that's a big thing. But I'm not talking about the people, the nation, I'm talking about the governments. Because every successive government is being manipulated by something. They say there is something that is called the Jewish lobby. There are 6 million Jews in America. Now the 6 million Jews has a power, a vote. No president can become the president of the United States without Jewish backing. So you need the sympathy. Yes. They don't know now, what do you think about this problem? Jesse Jackson, he said something, finish. Andrew Young, he said something about the Paris, look, give them a hearing, finish, go on. You'll never hear about the guy again. There is some power at work that if you say anything that goes against the Jewish interest in any way, right or wrong, you are finished. So, I can see that now it's America is the cause of our problem in the Middle East against the Jews. If Americans didn't come in, we could have settled ourselves. We should have said, they said, look, when we are brothers and cousins, look, you need us, we need you. We could have come to terms. But now America is putting up. 1948, Israel came to be. How? The United Nations. What happened there? America couldn't get sufficient votes for the partition of Palestine. So America blackmailed all the small nations that you, if you don't vote towards this resolution, there'll be hell to pay. This is history. Every history book of Palestine will tell you that America blackmailed the people to vote.
I mean, back on the way, it's the Arabs.
Right. So, first, Britain, Balfour Declaration. You give somebody else's property to somebody else. Your father's property, right? I don't know. Is that your father's property that you want to give? Why do you part of England or Scotland? No. Oh, wait. Why give away the Arab country? You, America. Why are you giving away somebody else's property?
I'm not an authority on Jewish affairs or history, but surely it was written in the book that that's where they came from.
No, we'll come to that. We're just looking at why I hate America. I just want to tell you why I hate America. Why the whole Muslim world hates America.
Hate is too strong a word.
No,
I can't believe that you hate anybody.
Jesus said, he is not a man who does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and the meaning. He says, you must hate everybody. That's biblical. Your King James Version. You have to hate them all before you follow me. You know, you're like I opened up the books for you.
Mm.
But let's say, maybe the word is...
it's a little strong.
I'm too strong. But now, to give you the shock, that's a fact. I hate America. I want to show you now what happened. The emotions, what is being injured. And what's being to that masses. You don't expect from me, but I said, I'm talking about masses.
Do you consider America as being the enemy in this particular conflict, or is it the United Nations? Because
No. I'm just showing you why people talk about their mother. I don't want to give you that, then you can...
Maybe you can be more specific.
why is this type of meaning? What are the other places? So America created the problem for us, since then, by partitioning Palestine. Then she's giving Israel $3 billion a year gift. Our money, lying in American banks, it's all right.
Just one.
That's it. $3 billion a year, our money. We're giving to the Jews who's armed up against us. Every successive war in the Middle East, we are not fighting the Jews alone, we're fighting America. In 1973, for the first time, the Arabs took the initiative. The Ramadan War, the Yom Kippur War. First time. Every time they're getting caught out. For the first time, they caught out the Jews. They caught them on time. Because they couldn't heed the warning given by America. Through sacrifice, they told them, said, look, the Arabs are on the move. But they said, we know the Arab psychology. They make a big noise. So we teach you, do this, run with the back, and preemptive strike. So they know, this is just, you know. So they took it lightly, the warnings. But the Arabs were really on the move. And they crossed the path, they're blind. They had the Jews by the throat. And Israel cries for help. And America with million machines direct into the battlefield. Through the table. So Sada has a wise man. He says, every time you fight this devil, you're fighting America, and you can't fight him. So the best thing is to make a compromise. So can't give it a call. You group of the Arab community, but I can't blame, I'm sympathetic towards them for what he did. This guy, the way to move in the shoe pinches, every walk, this pinch is getting cold.
No, they're not.
So now, this great America is getting the problem. America goaded Iraq to invade Iran. America goaded them.
Okay.
Yes! This war here, 8 days before, 8 days before 2nd of August, on the 25th of July, April Gillespie, the United States ambassador to Baghdad, she's telling Saddam, this was in the New York Times, on the 25th of July, she's telling Saddam, he said, we are not interested in Arab upon Arab confrontation, like here, black upon black. They said, don't look, you kill yourself, we don't get a damn. Something I said, look, that's Arab upon Arab. It's not a good business. The price of oil, I said, look, there are so many people in America, they will be happy to see that the price of oil go up, because they are also oil producers. Maybe in Britain also will be happy when the price went up. Maybe that's the oil business people. Business people are like that. You don't care about the nation, it's about yourself and how much more profit you can make. So, actually gave him the green light. Gave Saddam the green light. You won't interfere.
This was the American...
Mrs. April Gillespie.
April Gillespie.
That's Gillespie. She told Saddam.
But what authority did she have?
As an ambassador.
Was she the ambassador?
Ambassador of America. So you talk, you know, so maybe, well, it's just talking lightly.
But you never hear that. I've never heard that story before.
They're not repeating. I got a video of the CNN, not CNN, that other program. Well, have you?
Yes.
Said, look, they don't talk about it anymore. Nobody ever talks about it on any media. Why? April Gillespie, this is what she said, it appeared in the New York Times, and nobody contradicts it. In other words, now this guy was given a green light.
What did James said, right?
That's right. Huh? And I said, no problem, that's yours. He says, you know, like you tell him in Qatar, in the ANC. I said, you people, you fight that, you know, we will look the other way. Right? Maybe it's not shoot us, that means, right? You kill yourself, it's nothing to do with it. We won't jump in. So, April Gillespie gave him the green light. But maybe they had second thoughts afterwards with America. Maybe I'm thinking that the Jews, they said, look, there's an opportunity, golden opportunity to destroy Iraq. If you don't destroy Iraq now, he'll become the real monster what Hitler was. That's a fact. And the only danger in the Middle East for the Jews was Iraq. So this is the opportunity to get that guy.
That's Saudi Arabia.
The fear is, this guy's taken Kuwait. The next thing, this is my brother. He's done it. He's taken one country, one benefactor.
He's come and take another one.
Right. And Saudi Arabia is so big, it's so vast. If you look at the map of the world, there's a huge chunk of land. You don't find Iraq there, you don't find Kuwait there, the only thing you see is Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, yeah.
But the standing army of Saudi Arabia happens to be 65,000. Not even good for breakfast.
You know, standing army
of Saudi Arabia.
65,000?
65,000.
And Sudan?
1 million.
1 million, you got half a million there already.
This was the hope of our side, as far as the Iraq was concerned. We were looking forward to the day, so this when she would attack Islam. But this is our hearts, you know, our emotions, because this is our land they have taken, and there's nothing we can do. We are frustrated, you know, every time America comes in, now we have a brother coming up, who's going to do the job for us, and he's promising half of Israel is going to bust out. Okay. Right or wrong, this is how all human beings, their minds are working. So, instead of going into Israel, the guy goes and takes away. Is in it. That Kuwait was a benefactor. You have some grievances against Kuwait. But no, that didn't justify the invasion and breaking that country. So now, Saudi Arabia gets terrified. So there's a next move. So he cries for help. So he cries for help, any devil will do. This is human nature. If you are drowning and somebody that your very enemy comes on a raft or boat, gives a help in time, Paul is not going to shout, hey, don't take his hand! He comes from the tower, so he's going to get me saved. Save my wife, my daughter, my sister. This is the time for help. And company about the pudding. It's oil. And then, so he said, now there are other factors involved. But to me, now, I said, Saudi Arabia was justified in calling for help. And this guy comes to help. I can't blame America. But the people, is a hatred, is making them believe now. All the people were against Iraq when she invaded Iraq. The same people now turn somersault. This is the masses. This is the mind of the masses. You know, you can just you can play on emotions, especially hatred.
I have to listen to someone.
Right. So now, that someone, you need a platform. You need a platform. So then you talk to him, and I said, no, okay. You say there's jihad. Talking to you. I said, now, was it jihad when Iraq invaded Iran?
That's exactly what I said yesterday. That's exactly what I said yesterday.
Was it jihad?
Was it jihad?
So this says, no. It was not for Iraq to do that. So it's not jihad. So now, is it right for Iraq to commit Kuwait? So, the next time I will just give it. So they said, you see, at one time, this was a part of Iraq. It is this Westerners, America is up. So the easy manipulation. But before they did that, that whole region was a part of the Ottoman Empire. Turkey was ruling. Like in the French era, they were playing to all this. They said, look, Iran belongs to us. What are you talking about Kuwait? This is not ours. This was the Ottoman Empire, even including Saudi Arabia. Has she right? He said, no. I said, on the same principle what you are talking about, the Jews have a right to the West Bank. They said, this is Judea and Samaria. And they are right. He says, no. So I said, there is no jihad.
That's right.
No, you see, now you've got to sit and talk.
That's important.
Now, the main factor that was moving us was hatred. So this movement, this is not, nobody read the way. That's what I was going to say. I'm not going to talk to you. Nobody reads it, really.
You buy anyone.
They say, really, really means you read with the idea of this book is a book of instructions telling you and all these problems, what to do, how to, what to, how to behave, what to say, what not to say. So get it. So, all you who believe, chapter 5, verse 9. Okay, check it out. 5:9. All you who believe, you believe in God. Stand up firmly for God. Stand up firmly for God. As witnesses to fair dealing, if you stand up for fair dealing, for justice, you are standing for God. God is just and you are doing justice. You are standing for God. You are on the same wavelength with God. You are on the same wavelength with God. You be one with God. You say, atonement, at one mind with God. This is God's position, I take that position. So you are one with Him. You're with Him. As witnesses to God, as witnesses to faith. And let not the hatred of others to you make you swing to wrong and depart from justice. What's making you take up certain stands? It's your hatred. I hate Him. Now that's what's moving me. It's like my deed of gentleman. So I'm confused. I hate the Iraqis. Now that's making you take up certain stands. But don't do that. I hate the Saudis. So many reasons. He said, let not that be a criterion of judging. Like, oh, now I must do justice. So now I want to listen. I must get rid of all that. My hatred for the Americans, my hatred for the Jews, my hatred for the Iraqis, my hatred for the Saudis.
All his brothers.
As far as justice is concerned, now you have two litigants coming along before me. I like one and I don't like the other. Like a hypocratic oath, okay? This should be like an oath that every judge must utter before he starts proceedings. Let not that make you to commit injustice.
I think it's very difficult with humans who have preconceived hatreds. You have a natural dislike for the Americans, which you've already said. So you are always, no matter how you try, because you're a human being, you're going to be biased.
Right.
In that direction.
Right. Now the creator knows the machine he has made. He knows this machine with its proclivity or weakness. So now he's warning you, and this is the data material for your programming. Now if you're programmed that way,
again and again you say, no justice,
Even if it goes against yourself, even if it goes against your father or your mother, or against your future, the poor, it's no justice, you know? If you grow that in yourself, I'm telling you, you will be able to do it. It's a program.
You condition.
You condition. So, the amazing things you can do. There are people who are programmed. They are here one time, they are. The man tells him, is the prince of
time. He's a fragile diabetes.
He's happy! How can he be happy? He's very sharp. He's happy, he's in his program. So now that's a will of God.
My mother was crying when his son died. He said, what is this that we see? He said, this is what I owe my child. I'm not protesting, I'm not complaining. But I said, this is what I owe the departed soul. So I must give what I owe to him, my child. God has created me born, and now the child is born. I cry. This is what I owe to him. And he did what going to do. Now, the call is not, and as soon as we watch the prayer, we come back and we'll carry on, we will keep, and we will talk. Any questions that you have, you just hold them and then we will return.
The prayer is on, just
Yes. You say it's an experience of a lifetime. You sing the Lucian and prayer.
Can I
leave? And we've done for you special. If you like, you can leave.
Palestine was my father's property. I'm prepared to give it to you. And this title deed of yours. So, I said, I'm prepared to concede. So, what does it say? It says, I will give it to thee and to the seed of the seed. All right. Abraham didn't get it, but already the seed. So, I'm asking, who is the seed of Abraham? He said, me, the Jew. I said, no doubt, you are the seed of Abraham. But are you the only seed?
So Abraham wasn't very,
you see,
well traveled.
Abraham, in the book of Genesis alone, no less than 12 places. It says, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, God says, 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation, because he is thy seed. And again, as for Ishmael, thy son, and as for Ishmael, 12, no less than 12 places.
Right.
And if God Almighty calls Ishmael as the son and seed of Abraham, who are you to deny him that? So, I said, if you are the son and seed of Abraham, and if the others are the son and seed of Abraham, why don't you two live in peace and harmony as brothers and share the land? There's no need there, you see. We had it under David and Solomon. You know, it was ours. I said, how did you get it, sir? Where did you get it? Where did it come from? You came from Egypt, the unified 12 tribes, against these Palestinians, poor chaps, all village states. Because in one day the Bible says you kill 30 kings. 30 kings in a day. 30 kingdoms you conquer. What it means is 30 little villages. This is little chiefs, you know. Well, they are king. And you conquer 30 kingdoms in one day. What does it mean? It means you are a united people against this village, that village, that village. You bulldoze them all. So you call it by force. Does that entitle you to Palestine? If that is so, then I said we are entitled to Spain. You know, we ruled Spain for 800 years. The only thing that you can see in that country today, if you go, besides the bullfights and the castanets, that's the only thing the Spanish people can show you. The only other thing is, are the Alhambra, Cordova, who's that? My fathers, they built it there. Monuments, still there. So I can go and claim and say, look, my fathers built it. We ruled here for 800 years. Have we a right to claim the country? He says, no. I said, can the Dutch go back to Indonesia and say, look, we ruled it for 300 years? Portuguese ruled Mozambique for 500 years. Can they claim it that this is ours because our fathers ruled it for 500 years? He says, no.
So he said, well, and you possess it. Possession is ninth end of the law.
I said, yeah. So you possess it by force. So they, by force, they have a right to take it away. Might is right. If might...
Arabic or the Muslim world want that little piece of land that belongs to the
Lord. No, it's a sentimental feeling. You see, if your father was buried there, if your father was buried there, your grandma was buried there, your child was buried there, circumcised, the skin is buried there, he has a greater love and contact with that land than the guy in Russia. Damn it all, he didn't see the land, he doesn't know the single Jewish word. This guy is living there and you kicked him out. Who will have a greater feeling for that land? You, if you have that feeling after 2,000 years of being scattered, you have the feeling and you come back. This guy, you gave him out yesterday. He still has all the nostalgia, the remembrance of all the fragrance and the smell around there. He wants it. So you tell him, look at the world is big. I said, look, man, this is what I want, this is mine.
May I join you?
Really?
Yes, go ahead.
Delighted to have you. Absolutely delighted to be here. I'm a friend, so I understand what Uplup world means. Uplup world is an upper world.
Right? Many don't understand this one.
So you see, John, look, picture. What we have to do is, we have to dispassionately say, now let's look at the problem. Not I love this one, I hate that one. The Western world is made to hate the Arabs, so now you're passing judgment on that. I hate the Americans, so I pass judgment on that. I said, no. Let's sit down and say, now, where is right? Who is in the right? Where justice lies? And I must be prepared to do justice. Whether it goes against me.
But all those people that have a sense of belonging to that land, surely it's only a small portion of the rest of the world. If not all of them would say they have ancestors buried there, so wouldn't they be able to say that people who think they have ancestors buried there could talk it out with them?
Not a Jew doesn't want to talk. For all these years, you don't want to talk to the Palestinians. You think they're terrorists. And I'm asking, what are you, Begin? And you, Shamir, you are all ranked terrorists. Count Bernadette, who killed him? Those British soldiers, you know, who hanged them in the public square. What are you talking about? You know about terrorism. You are all terrorists. The British government offered $48,000 reward on Begin. Begin, catch him dead or alive.
Yeah,
that is. Yeah? So I said, now who's a terrorist?
Isn't terrorism justified in order to gain what you're entitled to?
What a good question to pose. We could be here all day debating the answer to that one.
I'm sorry, I posed that question.
No, when a person poses a question, see, I believe in the principle, if I pose a question, no mind how difficult it may be, I would have the answer. That means in the end I must supply you the answer. Otherwise it's mischief. I'm making mischief. And I'm just trying to show how clever I am. Riddles. I give riddles for you and keep you busy. That's devilish. That's devilish. You know? Lawyers do that. Not man of God.
We must find ways and means of either pushing forward our case or defending ourselves in the other man's case.
I think in the civilized man, in every race, color and creed, must appreciate that there are innocents who are involved in terrorism, which is totally unforgivable. I cannot believe that you could kill children, and there's a child sitting at this table to justify anything.
That's innocent bystanders.
I don't care what it is. And I think that anybody who promotes terrorism as such is doing a great, great wrong to the world and should be taught a lesson.
Perhaps it was codified, as I was saying, about it. Yes, terrorism directed at individuals or people outside of your territory or nothing more, like attacking air force and civilian targets and so on, that I don't support.
Or a supermarket.
But supposing I'm involved in the defense of my country, in terms of modern equipment I'm entitled to use whatever weapons I have that I possess, including chemical weapons for that matter. But what is sacred about any weapon? It is war. All weapons are justifiable. So the entire process is really, if you like, a space for terrorism. You're going to terrify your enemies.
Yes.
That's what the Quran tells you. Terrify your weapons. So powerful that you terrify your enemies, he doesn't want to face you. What is this all your means? But within that territory of where you have to defend your rights and promote your rights and protect your property or protect your country or take your country back. In that context that I use the word terrorism as a part of the same process of military activity in us. But no, you can't go in and bomb civilians and air force and captives and so on, and that's out of question.
What you're doing is, with the terrorists in the world today, it's the indiscriminate killing of people who are totally disassociated with your problem,
absolutely,
merely to cause sensationalism, so that you advertise your cause. I mean, take the Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
That slaughter at the Olympic Games was unforgivable.
Absolutely.
Those athletes had nothing whatsoever to do with the cause, or for any cause. They were there on a sporting venture, and to slaughter them indiscriminately was, it's unbelievably barbaric. It's all I could do.
No, we can never justify that on any ground.
I believe that terrorism directed at your enemy is fair and just. If he's a soldier who is acknowledged that he's at war with you, but to involve other people. And it's only in the last few years that that's ever happened, too. There have been innocent casualties, which are innocent casualties to inadvertently be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's a different matter. But to go out and put a bomb in a shopping centre in a Manzan Toti because something happened in the Middle East is unforgivable. I can't justify
all of it.
And it shows that innocent people, it could even be your own child. You know, it could be your own child who's gone there shopping, and you could be blowing up your own child.
Is it a lack
of milk? I like
it. It's baby yogurt. Yeah.
It's yogurt. It's splendid. It's baby yogurt.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Very good.
Here, the moment as in now, I would also live comfortable. So, we had conquest of nations, every nation going out of their way to find territories, colonies for themselves. So, in that process, we are doing injustices against different people. Now, those people, now when they come to their senses, they want to rectify this case. So in the process, now Mozambique, another 10 years, here in our own country, the guys have been throwing bombs and doing what you know, that problem in Southwest Africa, on the borders, our son guys were dying. So all of this because of certain injustices.
That's right.
So, but now...
Don't you put it down to the first law of human nature, which is self-preservation, which is causing war?
Your greed.
Excuse me.
Your greed is making you do injustice.
You want to insult God, your family, right, your home, your...
At the expense of somebody else.
Etc.
You see, so we are allowed, justified to protect ourselves. In which I said, not only, but not at somebody else's expense.
But it's for man, we are not, that we will be
treated. Correct.
Each time we outdo the other.
Right.
Tell me, very honestly, tea. Who would like tea? Everybody would like tea. It's a good, strong English drink.
Black tea.
Black tea. Oh, that's fine. Tell me, Amit.
Yes.
The Islamic community in South Africa is divided up into what? I hear there's someone in the Cape who's declared this holy war now.
Right.
Now, is there someone in Natal who's equivalent, or do you all have...
No.
What is the hierarchy? How does it work?
There's no hierarchy. Everybody is for all, because we have no bishops or popes.
Yeah.
Everybody, whatever he thinks,
just stands up and says it.
Right.
So he's not speaking for the Islamic community as a whole.
No,
he's speaking for himself.
He might say the whole lot. Oh, everybody with me.
That's the impression.
Yes. Everybody with me. But who is everybody you're talking about? Did you take a poll? Did you ask anybody any questions?
No.
Of this media family or something.
This is not a holy war by
any... We were discussing that earlier before lunch, and I think we all agreed that anybody who declares that must have some other motive for doing so. It's either stirring up trouble, or he has some other motive.
It's an easier way of getting a guy involved. When it's his own...
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So
then you get the simple people who will just talk to you.
So I'm right with God.
Did he say that he wasn't a Muslim, or he wasn't a practicing Muslim?
That is a great exception. That's true.
And now what
is the moment, at the moment we see him, you know.
Now you see him as a practicing Muslim.
Perhaps it suits him.
Yes.
Too late.
The slogans and labels are used.
Of Islam.
Yeah.
Promote themselves. You need it.
And
when people say in the name of Christianity, people do use that.
Yes.
But they're not fully Christians.
Yeah.
But if you say something in the name of Christianity, we could be still Christian. You say, well, this is I'm doing this in the name of Christianity. Because he was an Italian, or maybe or a Catholic.
God's name in vain.
So this is also thinking God's name in vain.
It's obvious to encourage as many people to join in as well.
The issue with as important as this, what if we had a single Muslim body with all the leading intellectuals, historians, and the learned men, the religious, getting together and debating this issue, coming to a unanimous decision, then promulgating that decision, that would be a few more Muslims in that
attitude. But
if he left
the
world now,
the war
would cease,
and if he said, well,
I'm going to leave the way, the way to take over again.
He's not
just one of these old.
Anything about to get away,
but he'll
climb
up
all the other.
I was thinking of this situation from many perceptions. For example, a Muslim, if he's engaged in a holy war, when he's armed properly or not properly, he's to fight, and he's not allowed to retreat.
No, after a time, you can be treated with the idea that you will come back.
And you know, in the British Army, there's no such thing as retreat. It's known as a strategic withdrawal.
Retreat in the sense that you're now running away from the battle.
We don't run away from the battle.
In that sense, I mean, I think it's not as ready. It's really good for us. Yeah.
The tree. You were withdrawing.
Yes. So, now trying to make this a holy war.
Yeah.
If it falls to the Saddam, then he said, well, he can't really talk peace now. You know, he's engaged in a holy war. He's going to defend Islam, as it were. He's going to be all in it. He's going to get half of the Muslim world joining him.
can't take him to holy water. He's not a holy water. It's an unholy water, actually. It's sin, you know. Destroy all opposition. Absolute tyrannical rule. You dare say something that he thinks is against his government, you're gone. In that way, it eliminated hundreds of learned men.
Would you like something? Are you a drinking cat? Because you've got to watch your diet then.
No, I'm posing as a martyr, as it were. Well, it's a lot of cat people who are also subordinates of the...
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say no cookies, I can't drink. Hi, Baba. Who's
here? Yes. Well, she calls me Papa. And she calls her father Daddy. So you can make a very mistake when you come home. He says, where's your...
Where's Papa?
Yeah. I says, Papa's not there. And he's thinking about her daddy. Mm-hmm. And the guy comes out. He says, yeah, she's lying. And he's saying, what to
him? Could put Papa in an embarrassing position.
He could do it sometimes, yeah.
I saw Papa and so-and-so's answer. Is doing away with the person's right to think for himself.
Yes,
you are programming and you're conditioning him.
Right.
And really, I'm not in total agreement that everybody should be programmed. I think the right of the individual is paramount. I will think anything I want to think,
right,
even though I've been programmed from childhood to do certain things.
Right.
I will do those automatically.
No, what has happened is, whatever Paul is talking now, he's programmed with all that. People have been talking, you know, that look, we must have the freedom. He is programmed. We are all programmed.
All conditions.
If you see, somebody is doing it to you all the time. When you look at the Edwards, what are they doing to you? Programming you. Do you want to buy it? What toothpaste you want to buy?
They
also
had subliminal
advertising. Right. No, he said that's unfair. Then he said, look, this is like a magic. It's like black magic. So he said, no, we won't allow that. But normally, every time a person opens his mouth, he or she, what are you doing? Why did you open your mouth? When you open your mouth, try to tell me something. You want me to accept your point of view? No?
No.
That's purpose. You see, you're not conscious, but you said, you see, in the Bible, you know, the Jews, you were programmed. Can you see that? You were programmed. You're not for the purpose of saying, look, I'm programming you. You know, you have seen this. No, you heard the thing. It's about you accepted that the Jews, you know, Palestine belongs to the Jews. Right. So now this other guy comes along, he says, he belongs to me. At the back of the mind, that these vagabonds, you know, this barbarian, they're trying to smash away the land of the Jews. God has given it to them, they have the title deed, and the skies won't see it. So they are programmed. So I'm programmed, I'm also programmed. But now, let us see if we can. We are mature people now.
But you must be
able
to
listen
to others' point of
view. Correct. You say we are mature people now. I said, all right, now let's see I want to hear your case. I want to hear your case. I said, no, madam, look.
But most people who say that don't want to hear your case.
Correct.
They merely want to be able to prove to you that you're wrong.
Do you agree that if you are talking truth, you cannot talk truth. You cannot express truth. The moment you start expressing anything, you are then using your conditioning to express what you say.
No, we are given. For example, Jesus said, seek ye the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes,
what is truth?
Truth must be found within you.
No. That what is found within you is your conditioning. You see,
the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Right. That means that's a different thing. Now, what is coming out of you is your programming. You see, the South Sea Islander, the headhunter, his conscience doesn't prick him when he jumps off your head and starts to think your skull. Does it? No, it doesn't. Why? It's programmed. So his conscience tells him there's nothing wrong with it. Am I right? Paul.
Neil.
He marries. And he has another wife. Another woman.
He better not.
Right. his conscience will prick him.
You promised you wouldn't tell them.
His conscience will prick him.
None of us would never conscience.
You see, the thing is, let's say something happened, a compromise, and then he has, you know, taken another wife on the sly, and, you know, he's supplying her needs as well. And at the back of it, he's feeling guilty about it. The guilt is there. He doesn't want people to know, he doesn't want you to know, he doesn't want his friend to know. Nobody wants to know that he's feeling guilty about what he's doing. Me, I don't feel guilty. You see, if I take two or three or four, because my religion says, no, it's not the same.
That's right.
You eat the pig, you don't feel guilty. If I eat pork, I feel guilty.
That's your program.
That's programming.
That's right.
So now, I said, no, it's coming from the inside. You know, pork! How can you eat pork? I said, look, you can cultivate. Morarji Desai, the Prime Minister of the largest democracy in the whole India, Morarji Desai, he was taking his own unit, 6 to 8 hours every day. You heard that?
On the Chief Leader.
On the Newsweek.
Yeah.
News
on the Mauritius that I was talking about.
He says,
it's good for cataract and it's good for tuberculosis. He said he told his brother, self-urine, because it's self-urine. And he says, cured him of his tuberculosis. And he says, you Christians? He said, you must also drink your own urine. You know why? Because the Bible says so. And he quotes. No, this is what you can do anything.
Yeah.
You can mislead yourself. And he says, he quotes the Bible. He said, the Bible says, and he does say, I looked it up. He said, drink water from your own cistern. No. He said, what is cistern? Cistern means bladder. Drink your own piss. Like you see, look, the guy believes it. The guy believes
yes.
it. He's programmed, he's brainwashed. The Eskimo, you know, the greatest act of charity, compassion he can show to his guest, is to offer his wife.
And he's insulted and if you don't take
it. Right. But now, you look at my wife, you know,
I can see
that poison in your eyes, I want to take your eyes out. I feel like taking out me or John's eyes out. You know, you look at that, my wife, you know, I'm killing you. No, program. But now we are all getting programmed, right or wrong. So we need the right data material. You need material for programming. But it must be the right data material. Now, how do we know what is right? That is the question. We need programming. We have to program our children. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is there anything wrong with that? Thou shalt not commit thy neighbor's wife. What's wrong with that? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. These are programming. You don't want your child to be programmed with that? Then there's something wrong with you. Am I correct, Namit? You got to program.
You
but now...
We've got a free thinking.
We got to try and program everybody into that. What is objective law? Driving on the right side of the road. We are programmed. 60 miles and 60 kilometers an hour in a built-up area. You are programmed. Don't cross a barrier line. You are programmed. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, these are not the rules.
Right. So now here we see this our objective laws, the laws that we give to us.
The injunction is you must know the truth. You individually must know the truth. The truth is individual. Not collectively as a people, but you individually must know the truth.
Yes, but now everybody, if you leave it to him, adultery is right or wrong. He said, look, the willing man and the willing woman, man, who the hell are you to come in between? Sodomy, is it right or wrong? He said, well, the grown up young man and the grown up another young man, what? Why are you coming in the way? So, no, you need objective law. No, where do you get that?
Passed down from generation to generation.
No, that can also be wrong. Passed down from generation to generation can also be wrong. Like my Hindu cousins. You see, for 5,000 years now, they said, my eating of beef is wrong. Right. So, Nasana, the Robala system. I said, look, these are all our cleverness. It's coming from inside. The African, he reasons in a beautiful logic. He said, this daughter of mine, I brought her, I educated her, medical care, clothing, and I brought her, and she is now ready for marriage. Now, this young man comes along to marry her. And I said, right, okay, with my blessings. And he's going to work her to death. You know, she's got something for nothing, and we won't care for it. So I want to put a price on her, that this guy will look after that because it's valuable. So I said, 11 cows. Right? For my daughter, 11 cows. So now, if you fall sick, he's worried. He says, I'm doing my 11 cows.
They can't get another one in a hurry. It's another 11 cows. So he's going to look after her. Anything wrong with that logic?
Yeah.
You see, man, this is the cleverness of man. Man is clever. He's ingenious. So he creates all this protection. Beautiful. But now, that beautiful idea of yours created a problem. You see, now you cultivated that now. 11 cows for my daughter. 11 cows. Everybody's 11 cows. So more daughters I have, the richer I am. Now, but John wants to marry my daughter, but he hasn't got 11 cows. So I said, all right, you can have her on credit. You see, but the children are mine. This is my field. You can cultivate, and you can plant the seed, but the house is mine. Okay? So go ahead. So every African home, there are illegitimate children. You go to the house and say, Obi Baba Wake, where is this child's father? He says, I'm last. I don't know. Wherever Baba Wake, where is his father? This is Baba Yiri. They run away. Almost every home has an illegitimate child. Because that beautiful system today has created a problem. There are 6 million Zulus, at least. Forget the Khazars. Forget the Khazars. 6 million Zulus. Out of that, 500,000 females. I mean, half of that, 3 million females. Out of that, 1 million males. Marriageable. Eight. They want 11 million cows. Where the hell you going to get 11 million cows? There's a system, was a beautiful system. But it has created like a shambles. In India, my own people now. You see, the people, the Aryan invasion of India took place. My ancestors, they invaded India. We are not actual natives of India. We are today natives of India. We are Indians. I can't say anything else. I'm Indian. But 5,000 years ago, we were not Indians. We have invaded India from the outside, like you have invaded this country.
Which country?
From the Middle East, Iraq.
Iraq?
Yes.
Are you in Iraq?
5,000 years ago.
He comes from Stanger.
There were certain Indo-Germanic tribes in what we call Mesopotamia, Iraq and Iran and all that. So the grazing ground was getting too tight for them, so they started moving out. One went north, one came south through the Khyber Pass into India, one remained. The one went that north are the Germans. They said, we are the Aryans, the master race. You heard that before?
Yes.
Right, right. They said, they are not like these other European Slavs. We are the Aryans, the master race. The ex-Shah of Iran, his real title was Aryamar, means the light of the Aryans. They say they are the Aryans. The Arabs say they are not Arabs. They say they are the Aryans. No? That's there, the blood. My people in India were not Muslims. They said, we are the Aryans. What's the truth of it? No, 5,000 years. We were one people. But 5,000 years of intermarriage with the Nordic people and the climate and the diet made the Germans what they are. 5,000 years of intermarriage with the Indian people and the climate and the diet made her what we are. The Iranian is the nearest to what a true Aryan ought to be. But there is a common denominator between the Germans, the Iranians and my people. See, but that's 5,000 years ago. Now when we invaded India, we found the Brahmin caste. What do you see on the way to Marisburg? There are the Brahmins. To us, we do this. You know, when you look at them, it makes our mouth water. Right? So we came into India and we were meeting them. So we wanted to eat up. So he says, no, our wise minister says, no, we must save this animal. We don't have the pedigree cows, but the rest of us. See, she gives us milk, from that we get our butter, and our yogurt, and our ghee, and even the cow dung makes such wonderful compost, better than any fertilizer that you can buy. So, do you eat your mother? She says, no, she says, we look after them. Programming. Beautiful. We did that. Beautiful programming. That after 5,000 years, we have saved the cow in India. But India has the highest number of cattle population in the world. But little Denmark produces more milk and butter than all of India put together. Why? Oh, God knows the thing. No. You see, Denmark looks after its cows, good breed of cows, and they feed it and they get the return. In India, there's not even grazing ground. So, it has become a plague of cows. Right, you see? Your cleverness. See, man's cleverness. His babola, your cleverness. Your protecting the cow, your cleverness.
So they should bring the cows from India and give them to the Africans, who then could buy the wives. You've solved the problem. And I'm full of cows.
So, now what do you do? Therefore, we say we need somebody who will give us an objective eye. And the only being who will give you that kind of law is God.
If it is from God.
That law is not partial. This is for the Jews, that the Jews may admit all the other nations. Or this is for the Europeans, or this is for the Africans. Mm.
He gives you a law.
Now, look at that law. Like the road.
The rule of the road is objective. 20 kilograms only you can carry in the plane. Objective. You know, previously 40 pounds in the train. Objective.
So how you argue as an architect is a logic man. It's not made to discriminate against me or you or anybody.
Similarly, we must get a law from God. And first thing now, we must find out whether this is from God or not.
That's right.
Like this, everybody claims. Everybody says, this is my book, this is from God, this one says from God.
Now we have to find out, well, we have to consider that. And say, so now let's see now, whether this is from God or not, or this is your own fancy, your own imagination, your own prejudice. So once we come to that realization that this is from God, then we submit. Then we find wholehearted submission. No motives. For example, I had a problem. Swaziland, King Sobhuza, he was still alive, his wife died. His eldest wife, she died. And there was a controversy in the country.
How long is a man to wait before he can remarry?
That's a controversy. His wife died, so they want to know how long should he wait before he can get another wife. Soon that problem, question, changed to how long should a woman to wait? Because he said, but still ain't no wives. So it's not a problem. What are you worried about?
But suppose the man died, if the king had died his wives, how long will they be waiting?
Right, yeah.
Right. So controversy in the country.
So the king, you know, the churches, you know, they're going on like what you jihad or no jihad. Same type of things are there. How long? So he called up a synod of all the African churches. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, then 7 day Adventist, then Presbyterians, and the whole lot. Come, I want you guys to come and sit and talk. Very good idea. So there was a Swazi. She had become a Muslim. So he calls me, he said, look, my church also is the king. My church is Islam. So I want my man also to come. So he calls me, so I also go down. It's in the king's court, he's sitting there in the grass. From morning till 5. Things are going on. The guy comes forward. Each and every African is a miracle potential. For the Jim Swagger.
Everyone.
The master orator. National orator. So the guy comes along and he says something and everybody applauds. Brilliant. Next guy comes along. He says, Polish. He will say in Polish.
Polish.
Boy, Polish. This is porridge.
What's rubbish? Garbage.
It's all garbage. And he makes his point and it was all... Another guy comes along. He says, his name? This is Polish. This is very rubbish. And he made the point and it was all... Shhh. It lasted till 5 o'clock. No lunch. No tea. Nothing. You just sit there in the grass and you look there. You carry on. They don't know about all this. You just carry on. 5 o'clock, I don't come.
5 o'clock, at the end of the day.
So I tell them, I said, you know, from morning till now, we haven't got a solution. I said, you know why we haven't got a solution? I said, because we're quoting the Old Testament and we're quoting the New Testament. We're quoting the New Testament and we're quoting the Old Testament. I said, but the answer is not there. In other words, your cleverness, your own intellectualist thing, you know, you're putting forth your own ideas. I said, the answer to this problem is in the last testament. I said, chapter 2, verse 200. I opened the book. Last testament, what does it say? It says, if any of you die, they should wait concerning themselves 4 months and 10 days. Answer straight. You don't have to break your brain. 4 months and 10 days. But we will say, look, what's miraculous about that? What's wonderful about that? Anybody could have guessed.
come on, we all get, just like you said, 4 months, then it's just 4.5, then it's just 4 months. Any, some clever man might have guessed. So Muhammad was a clever man, he made a guess and we think it's
4 months
and 10 days. We accept, you see. But it's just, what is it there to show that it's from God? Any clever man could have guessed such a thing. But then, no, there is any clever man could have guessed. But as I show you, carry on. It says that you can make, that's what the week, 4 months and 10 days, why 4 months and 10 days? It tells, the same book says, for divorcee, 3 months. You have a right to remarry after 3 months. But in 3 months time, you'll find out whether you're carrying or not. So, the monastery is clear, sir, you want to marry? No. Doesn't say you must, but you have a right now, 3 months. But for a widow, 4 months and 10 days. Why 4 months and 10 days? I'll tell you. Said, look, this woman, she's just lost her
husband. Oh, dying to love.
She's just lost her husband. All right. So it says that you can make an offer of betrothal to her. My sister-in-law, she's a widow, and she doesn't know what's going to happen to her, who's going to look after her, her children, and she can't pay the rent. So I go to her and say, sister-in-law, don't worry, I'll look after you and your children. I will marry you. So I can make an offer to assuage her fears, or I can keep it in my heart. I said, when the period is over, I will propose. The book says, you can make an offer of proposal, or you can keep it in your heart. But do not enter into a contract until the period is over. Aha. I said, now that is not Muhammad's cleverness. The rest you can say, man was a very clever man, he was a very great philosopher. He says, don't enter into a contract with her. Why? Because she is upset in an emotional right. No, then I propose to show.
Well, I'm so happy you said that.
You know, I said, you don't mind me.
No, not at all.
She's got something. So I called the priest, she's agreeable. I signed her up. Now,
the order of the law.
He said, no, don't worry, I married Mr. Lee. So, what, that guy? No, he used to be the wife. You know, he could have been the children. Have you told what have you done? You know, what was the day? Hey! It's too late, madam. It's too late. Now you are in hell. Now the creator knows. I might take advantage of your emotional upset. So, I said, no, this is not Muhammad's covenant. It's 1,400 years ago in the desert. The man is telling her, do not enter into a contract until the period is over. So giving her an extra time, more than 3 months, to come to a kind of mental balance. And you, in the meantime, you can suggest to her, she can start talking, say, in the meantime, but don't say that time is over. You know, you're on guard. So, now you're on guard. So I said, like that, everything. This book now tells you anything, everything. You reason, this is not Muhammad's cleverness. This is not Muhammad's cleverness. So where did he get it? So I asked him, hey, where did he get it? This is given to me by inspiration. And then you look at the book. The book itself tells you that this is not his. The whole vast volume is given to you. In that vast volume, 2,000 pages, you will not find the name of Muhammad's father. His mother's name is not there. His wife's name is not there. His daughter's name is not there. Where he is born is not there. Where he died is not there. What kind of a book is that? A man writes a book. I write a book. My father's name, my mother's name, my wife's name, my daughter's name, my companions. Nobody is there. What kind of a book is this? His birth is not there. But the birth of Jesus is there. The whole chapter is there. Name after the mother.
After that grace of God, it's all that good.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
But now here, this is the only book, non-Christian book, which makes it an article of faith for its followers to believe in Jesus. Why? When the Jews made a mockery of Jesus and his mother, you see, they said, he is the illegitimate child of Mary. The Roman soldier raped Mary, and that illegitimate offspring gave it out as the Son of God. That's what the Jews say. The Christian says, no, because he does not father, his father is God. Muslim is made to say, no, he's neither this nor that. What is he?
Cool. Say, tell them.
To the Jew and the Christian. Ya Ahl al-Kitab. So, oh, people of the book, both Jews and Christians, both of you. La taghlu fi dinikum. He said, do not go to extremes in your religion. Wa la taqulu ala Allah illa al-haq. And don't say anything about God except. إنما المسيح هو سيد المسيح إنما المسيح هو عيسى ابن مريم Jesus the son of Mary Rasulullah is a messenger of Allah وكلمته and the word proceeding from him ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منهم which he bestowed upon Mary and a spirit proceeding from him فآمنوا بالله ورسوله so believe in Allah and his messenger Jesus now as to come in any object of this thing so look this group here said he is the begotten son of God this one said he is the illegitimate child of Mary this guy he says Muslim says he says no he is neither this nor that but he is a true messenger of God love him respect him revere him follow him but you worship him now why would Muhammad take such a stand the easier thing was the easiest thing from the worldly point of view you come along and tell me that this Jewish girl had a child without any male intervention. You see us? I says, madam, if your mother, in the absence of your father, is gone for a long time, and she says she had a dream, and she was carrying this child, this one, she's going to give birth to. You believe your mom? And your own daughter, you know, she never lied in her life as far as you know. She's telling you, she says, ma, I heard some voices, and I'm carrying a baby. You believe her? So how would we believe this Jewish girl, 2,000 years ago, when she heard voices, and he said, madam, I make a mockery of you. He said, but no, that's the easiest way. There is no better way to fight than sarcasm. What are you talking, madam? You believe that? You believe that? You believe that?
Amen. In one point, yes. What happened at this meeting? You haven't told us at the end.
What meeting?
Oh. With all of the Africans there, and you were sitting down.
No, they are only going to get this last question.
did they accept
oh, yes.
4 months?
No, they can see that.
Yes. They accepted the 4 months,
they
10 months.
No, you don't. Here is a book that gives you the answer. Mr. Beer tells me, Mrs. Deepak, all this what you're telling me, I want you to write it down, and I'll publish it in the Temple David magazine. I said, Mr. Beer, I can't write. And even today, you have written many books after that, booklets. But in my heart and mind, that knows getting the job to write. Okay, to me, in second nature.
Comes easily.
There's not anything anywhere I can take, it's simply fitting. But writing, I've got to feel the connection, yeah. And some logical connection I can. It's an audience.
You would make an admirable member of our sales team.
That's right.
I mean, we borrow it.
No, we just started, you see. We actually started from the basic.
What are you doing at present?
I'm working for a company called Bob Larson Silicones.
What do they do?
We supply furniture, fittings, all the hand-blown hinges to all the manufacturers. So I've been in that for about 8 years.
That team that had, they just did now. I don't know if you saw. Them coming down, that level of delegation, they directly with city police made arrangements to have parking arrangements. So city police came here on Friday morning, not police, what is happening, they said, no, this is for
people.
So they knocked off the parking. Rumor has now started that he then had bodyguards come in, and that's why the parking was blocked off. But not one person has come and said, now what's going on down here? And we said, we don't know, these people have arranged it direct. The human mind.
So anyway, Bashir Bania left him now.
Yeah, he's gone on his own.
What is it?
I don't know. In fact, I asked him. He told me his mother is sick and he's going to be there with his mother, but I don't know where he goes.
Can't be sitting 24 hours a day with his mother, yeah. To do what?
Well, he's gone back to Joburg now, but I don't know.
Right, so his mother is in Joburg?
Yeah, his mother is in Joburg. Uh-huh. I told him, we'll bring your mother down, we'll pay for the
right.
And he says, no, he wants to go back, so anyway, he's gone back. And I think some other organization must have offered him.
Maybe, that's brother of mine. Abdullah, you see. He seemed to have received someone from somebody. You know, my brother Abdullah. Because my other brother advertised in the Sunday Times. Anybody wants money, you know, for any propagation work, contact me. So I told him, look, man, come and join us at the Muslim Missionary Society. Most probably, it's not the Missionary Society can't afford,
right.
But somebody can say that I'll pay for his wages.
Right.
You keep him here instead of there.
Right.
So you got these guys, you guys, you are becoming more sympathetic towards us. So break that. So, you know, your main man,
yeah,
to go along and propagate, you know, our work. He's taken away, the kingpin.
Yeah.
This is shaitaniyat of the highest order, but we won't pass that. It can't take long because he can't live on pressure.
No, because he, you see, he kept such a open this thing. He says, look, I maybe come back in a month's time. You know, he's telling me like that. So he says, don't take anybody on right now. I mean, we can't find anybody.
Yes, Ben Fozia. I think you got cut off yesterday. No, I don't know what happened here. Yes, there was another phone came on and I don't know what happened.
Did you take care?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
For Quran, what do you
think? If I see the thing, no, if you fax it to me, so I might be able to give you some comments.
There are other distinct.
Right, if you fax that to me.
Oops.
No. No, no. No. I must see it with my own eyes. Before I comment. Hmm? No good. I must see the thing with my own eyes. No good, no good, no good. I must have the thing in front of me, then I know what I did. What I am. No, that's not my view. That's not my view. Your deadline is not my problem. None. I must see it with my own eyes. That day, because they are Modi, the Modi of Ulema, they are planning 10,000, a force of 10,000 to go to the church.
Yes, there was a
marriage. I must see it.
Yes.
I read it as a logo. I must see it. I will not answer my life. No, we learn. We're learning. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. But I won't learn it.
No.
No, because when you're seeing the thing is something else, then somebody telling you.
Yes, I heard the news.
The news.
My wife heard the news and she had a figure of 40,000, not 10. She's already helping. That's a good thing.
Who's majlis?
So
that's what she said now. If it is that majlis or for the lesbos, let's have it here. Your deadline, to hell with your bloody deadline. So why must we cooperate with you for your deadline?
No, we will cooperate, but you will cooperate.
I'm going to join in it.
No, you got a deadline, then stop, get off the phone and send the information immediately.
Right.
We give you an answer immediately.
Right.
The more you talk about it.
Right.
Now, I heard that they want a meeting with Mr. De Klerk to arrange for these 40,000 people to coincide with Iran. Mashallah, I'm saying, mashallah, you don't need a meeting with De Klerk,
right,
because you can go straight to Pakistan or India straight away.
Straight.
No need visa, nothing.
Right.
Alhamdulillah, they shouldn't even be gathering and wasting time immediately in Iran. Straight away you go.
Yeah, I don't know what meeting they have with the government. They
say they want a meeting so that they can arrange for these people to be dropped off at a friendly country and they will go and fight. So you can go straight away. There's no visa problem.
Yeah, to Iran. Go to Iran. The closest country is Iran.
But what I'm saying, we have links.
You can open a second front against America.
From Iran. Go to Iran.
Each person is entitled to his opinion, and it's good to see people,
rightly
or wrongly,
are
able to match their words with action.
Very good. Yes. Even to carry dead bodies. They need people to transport dead bodies and all that.
Even if they are wrong, it's good to see that people can match their words with action, alhamdulillah. And an easier way, we are recommending, don't wait for the meeting. You don't, as a Muslim, as an Indian Muslim, we don't have visa problems to go right now to Pakistan.
No, and the visa man, people are there in Johannesburg. You got Abdullah Dida, you got the Iran intersection there. We will issue the 10,000 with visas to enter Iran without question. You don't need Bota or FW declared.
But that you still have to go and apply for visa. If you go Pakistan or India, you get on a plane and go.
But Iran is closest. And they say some of his fighter planes are in Iran. Some of his fighter planes are in Iran. There might be some deal he must have made, you know what I mean? We don't know. But Iran is plays a very important key. He says not a holy war.
Right.
So it is an armor that I don't care. But possibly I bought those planes. You start bombing those planes.
Yes.
You know, just war with me now. Possibly I bought the food. So you don't know what internal deal I made. So that guy doesn't know. The American just can't go and bomb the plane. That's Iraqi plane, eh?
No, they can't go into Iran anymore.
They can't go to Iran.
Bought or whatever, you can't, yeah. Can't go there. But you can't say to the guy that this plane in Iraq now belongs to Iranians, you can't bomb. That's a different story. But he's wise to send it off to Iran.
He
says
some of it destroyed. All over the show, he said. Google, he might wake up tomorrow and say from all sides, bomb.
Iran might be interested. He said, look, I haven't got enough. You know, here's something here when you start. I'll tell you when, you attack them as well. You hit the Americans. Right.
And Saudis?
Right.
This is the opportunity of a lifetime. You're right, tomorrow.
I will cut it off, share it. If you win, you take all that portion and I'll take the
rest. No, they say possibly we'll never win. But we'll give them a battle of their mothers.
They're killing them on that road.
At the moment, it's not really. The
money's worth, I'm telling you.
It's not really.
If you really look at in between the lines what they're saying on TV, they're giving them their money's worth.
They ought to have given it to the Israelis.
Yeah. Okay. Before this even started.
Now it's too late. This guy's got all those patriot missiles now. Mm. The sun two nuclei that are a million Ramu shell. And that guy blows it out in the sky. He blows it out in the sky. Mm. Why did you wait? If you could have blasted half of Israel.
A million Ram a shell.
1.5 million.
And now each typical what you said the other day or the thing. Men and machines straight onto the field.
Mm.
They airlifted those Patriot missiles and got Americans manning it because
right.
The Israelis still don't even know how to man it.
Right.
So again.
So, you got caught out, man.
Again, you were thinking with the cause of the Jews.
Well, the Americans won't take them back.
No, they said that, the American people operating it will hand over once the Israelis have
right.
Trained. And they haven't revealed how many, but they have revealed that they have air freighted them through and they're already in operation.
And they leave them behind.
They're going to leave them behind.
Yeah. No, they can't take them back.
You're sending the devil back. Hey, what do you want, Qurans? How many thousand Qurans you want?
All about 2,000.
You just send us 10,000.
1,000 Qurans. How much? Make a deal. How much normal charges?
How much? What's the normal charge?
Normal is 5 grand, right?
So, what's
you
the problem?
You want to sell for 5 grand.
If you pick it up.
I can't pick it up.
Then, no, because I'm sending it by road freight. Oh, you know what it's costing?
You get the guy in worse.
No, well, I know it's costing a package.
How much?
Guess.
How much?
We'll book a million with you.
2 lana Quran.
We'll book 5 million.
2 million rand. It's just a flip 2 lana Quran.
No, what's the cost of printing it?
No, printing I know it's hello expensive. Printing you can't print that for 20 rand.
Look, I want to see that invoice, man, for our interpack, the Quran.
All right.
I want to see the invoice and then I want the photo stamp.
All right.
I want to see the invoice first.
All right.
This one here is costing us 2670.
Yeah.
We sell for 15. It's costing there at the printers. Then what about handling it? What about storing it? What about Ahana Manasa Kamkarita Hum? Is all cost going on top of this? 2670, it cost me, we need to pay to print 100,000. And I said 15 lakhs. And when you buy for 15, I kiss your hand. Came over, thank you very much, man. Then said, the Quran, every Quran you're buying, I'm giving you 16. That's about 15 lakhs. Bonsala. Gift.
You know the people want Qurans. The phone here from Pretoria and everywhere. They say Farad hasn't got Quran.
I haven't got Quran. Look, 3,000 you gave me last month, right? Oh, not one. I haven't got one. I can say that because I got one Quran.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, must move it.
You see, this is service to Islam. What you're doing now. Suppose you don't make anything. What better service can you do than to give Allah's kalam to people? Because even if you use any kind of high pressure sales machine, getting the Quran into people's homes, what have you done?
Yeah.
Service to Islam. He's the guy who bought it, the old man. If he doesn't read it, then put it up without watching it.
Yeah, no, sir.
And then he might be engaged to give away to somebody who is interested. Blessings.
Yeah.
This is service to Islam.
What do you say, Farah?
Well, send me.
What's that?
But send me 150 for that Islamic school immediately.
Which
one? Remember, I told you that Islam started already.
Who's
PMT has opened up the Islamic school.
Yeah. Victoria Memon boys are the rich millionaires.
You got to steal their brains. Look, the way I did it. You got to steal people's brains. This Quran, you don't give away for nothing. You get your money back. How do you get your money back? You got to go and tell the guy. He says, you know, look, our children here, you know, they should have this Quran. He'll improve their English. They'll have the knowledge of Islam, Allah's Kalam, guided by it. And there are so many students. We would like you to subsidize this book here, 2,000 pages in encyclopedia. Buy some of those boys, this comic, some books you get in the hypermarket, 5 rand and 6 rand, for about 20, 30 pages. Buy one. They say, look, for my son, I paid this for this little thing here, 20 pages. How much? With sales tax, 6 rands. This 2,000 pages, 5 rands. Don't you think we should give those 5 rands each? From this account, you need that. Pay for it. Right? Right. I want you to pay how many students there? 500. He said, no, I can only pay 100. He said, I don't give you 100 from your side. 11 won't. Another guy. He said, look, 400 or 500. Still, balance. We want you to pay for your zakat. This is what you want to do. In no time, you got the money back, and you go and give. You're still getting the name. You know, you want to go and deliver it yourself? He said, look, I come and deliver it to you. You go and hand it over. But if you want me to handle it, I'll handle it. But now, this thing costs us. They're subsidizing. You show the invoices. Cost those guys 16 pounds. Plus GST.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
Mr. Boy,
yeah?
Call for you from Lady Smith, Brenda.
I will put it my side.
Right.
So, you see, there is an art. Now, I can do the job, but I'm passing on how. How I, you see, at one stage, in my early beginnings, Qatar promised me 20,000 grams from Singapore. I needed the Quran very urgently. So they had some, I said, send it by air. Be right here.
Yes. Yes, Fawzia.
Yes. What? I don't know what's happening. Yes. So. Oh, this morning? Oh, you mean the Mercury? No, I've got no time to look for the daily news. I'll be seeing reading it this evening. Tell me. Yes. No, they haven't approached me yet. Then. The problem of security. You know, people, they are thinking, because somebody did approach me, but not the government. Somebody did approach me. And he says, now, if the people can be flown to Cairo and to London or Paris, why can't they be flown to Nairobi? Because the Saudi Airlines were coming as far as Nairobi. Right? Why not Nairobi? And this is a safer area than Cairo. From the battle zone. But now, we are not looking at another aspect. You see, Cairo is allied to Saudi Arabia in this coalition.
Coalition.
They are allied. So in other words, now their planes in Cairo will be protected by the government. And in London also, there is this with the same coalition. They will be protected. But in Nairobi, you know, any terrorist, you know, if there is such a thing as what they have been threatening all over the world, well, they can be easily bombed in Nairobi. So the man saw the point straight away. So it is further away from the battle zone, but it is easier for people to attack their planes than in London or in Cairo. Now, we didn't see that before. So that's how the ordinary mind thinks. Look, it's far away from the battle zone, man. Why not here? So this is the problem. That's right. And they're not discriminating. He says, no, the South Africans can't use it. There's no such thing.
anyone who wants to take advantage of going to Cairo and finding their way home, or going to London and finding their way home, they are at liberty to do so. So we should ask them, we may need some money. You know, extra charges, extra insurance, so that the ticket price goes up and all that. But you think they're trying to victimize you? This is sad, very sad. That is correct. But if you try, maybe he says, if you wait a little, we are always hopeful. This is the nature of man. We are always hopeful that things might just turn out, that they might make a special flight and send us to Nairobi. Because to me, they'd rather be stranded in Jeddah than in Nairobi. Nairobi is hell, do you know that? I was stranded myself twice. You see? You'd rather be in Jeddah and go back to Mecca and Jeddah is only 70 kilometers away. Right? I think it's preferable. If I was stranded, that's preferable than Nairobi.
Coming.
You got Fahil Mansoor's letter there?
Yes, I've seen it.
And last time we
replied
for that.
I don't know. And they're flight people. They will know what are the possibilities. I have no idea. No, I don't know what is the first thing.
So, 20,000 francs. I said, I will urgently. So they aided to me 1,000. It cost them $8 each. The grand thing here, now, I want to prepare the market for 20,000. So I came to the Transvaal. My best market. Best customers. Money-wise. And I traveled about 1 month around the Transvaal trying to sell chairs. I'm offering to people 10 rands each or 2 for 15. It costs $8 each. Every. But 10 rands each or 2 for 15. Standard Quran, take
28, 28. You keep on talking about 18 rands or 16 rands. The Quran.
Right.
It's ordinary one costs us 20, 34.
Let's change my text now.
20, 34 each. It costs us an interbank. Not after storing and handling land. 20, 34 each.
The deluxe one.
And the deluxe cost us 2761. You mean? And in the back, it costs us 2761. If you want a photo standard, that I give it to you.
Just this one here.
No, give both. Give the photo standard both.
I give you both. So you got the full story.
Right. So, 10 rands each, or 2 for 15. So I go to the man. He said, I got it already.
I said, look, man, you can give to your bank manager, some police left hand. I said, you're a good customer.
He says, Zara, send me one.
I said, look, why don't you put another 5 rands? You get two. One is 10 rands, 2 for 15. Put another 5 rands. You get two.
He said, no, one is enough.
I take the order. Somebody, I sold them 10. Altogether, at home, I sold 200. I'm the best salesman that we have in the country.
For anything.
If I want to sell insurance, any bloody thing I want to sell. I'm the best salesman.
I don't want to sell myself to you, but I'm the best salesman.
That's why I came to the States. I'm the best salesman. I sold only 200. To me, absolutely fair.
Because the 20,000, when they come by the turn of the century, the best salesman's alive, this is what his performance. What can you do? I'm despondent. What's going to happen to me when I get a 20,000?
Allah, His musabbib and asbab, He solves your problems for you. That's what it is.
So it's 2034, huh?
2034.
And 2761 each. 2761 each. So,
comes sitting in my office, in Madras Archimedes, there. A young doctor, trainee doctor, he comes to me from the medical college. Dr. Anwar Hussain, he wasn't a doctor then, he's trained. He is like a family child. He grew up in front of me, so he comes to me. He said, "Uncle, we performed a miracle yesterday." He said, "Yeah." "Yes, okay.
No, my tie is coming from me.
Shall we do some?"
"No, no, I've got my wife is here still."
"Both from both of us, we hope you like it. Because always you didn't hesitate when speaking to us. You didn't say you are busy. You know what I mean? Go ahead, okay, now leave it. I'm a busy man, you know. So I hope you like it. I'm not going to
talk
to
you."
I told her, "Son, no, you deserve something from us." Because you know, you're such a busy person, but still you find time to speak to us.
What's the difference? Allah expects you to please. And then you come to the conclusion that this is harmful to Islam. And if you did the job, maybe Allah might even reward you even if you were wrong. He will look, you know, according to your giving this information, what I see, you know, and actually with my own eyes, my own logic, I can see, you know, that he is not harmful, maybe. So I got rid of him. Maybe he might get hanged here. On the other side, he might be rewarded. Because you use your brains and you came to your own conclusion. But you didn't. You are like a zombie. The Jews were zombies. And Allah is warning you, don't be a zombie. But you are still a zombie. You won't think. It's not your hatred is going to move you. You don't like to see this. Your hatred for me, for the work that I'm doing. Right? Saudi connection. Now that's a hatred. It's a hatred. You come out of the house, then your heart is burning. So what kind of Muslims are you? Program. You should be happy. Even if you got it from the Russians, the money, and you got this, and what are you doing inside? Let's go and see. What is he doing? This man is promoting Islam. Good or bad? He could have done better. Say, yeah, but this is what he's doing. Good or bad? So it's good. So you should be happy. But you're not happy. Why aren't you happy? It's your hate. Reason for your hate. Jealousy. What else? No, there's something wrong. You're not even prepared to talk.
Is that because I was in Mauritius, there was an attorney there.
Yeah.
He said he's very fanatical about what it takes, but he didn't like one thing.
Right.
Hinduism to Islam.
Right.
I kept quiet, totally telling him. I was sitting neutral.
Right.
He kept on telling me, he kept on talking. So he said, "Oh, he didn't like where he did that." I said, "You know, monkey god. So the friend of mine who I was staying with, quite for a while, he says, "You know this man here? He does all Amba did that sprinting." I said, "Oh," so I said, "Now he knows who I am." First I was listening to what he said. I said, "Now tell me, what should Jidat say? Beautiful God? Dog God? It is a monkey God. You call the dog by his name. He's a dog. He said monkey God because we believe in monkey God." So I said, "You got any other way of telling it? Is there another way of saying a monkey is by some other name?" And he says, "No, you shouldn't say monkey god, just say God." I said, "But it's not God, it's monkey god. They believe in monkey god. They didn't believe in this god, and they believe God with 6 hands. And you can't say God with 2 hands. Then he says, "God with 6 hands. And he says, "No, but you are stressing that word, monkey. You shouldn't stress. Why must you stress?" He says, "But you must show a way after stressing it. I mean, at least if it might open the eye of one out of..."
No, your daughter.
Right.
You see, if your daughter was going that way,
right.
If you can save your daughter.
Right.
Look at the lingam.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the bones?
Right.
Your daughter didn't cry.
Right.
Huh? She's badly, she's going under the lingam.
Mm-hmm.
With her lover, she's going to marry the fellow in temple.
Mm-hmm.
If she just knew this,
she would be sure.
If it could have saved her, was that thing worth it?
Worth it, definitely.
But maybe it is related to the... You see, when you find out, his wife may be a Hindu. But his son-in-law is a Hindu.
Possible, somewhere along the line, something. Because also
thought... Or Islam has a really religious heart. That's it, to those munafiqs. See, everything is fine. They're praying with our Nabi.
Masjid al-Qiblatayn. And in the middle of the Salah, Allah sends a wahi, about turn. So how does Al-Mali do about turn? He's in the front there, so he stops and he goes to the other side and says about turn, everybody. Now, put here waiting for the next Salah. So now look from now on. Now, who's talking? All this. Those who are making Salah behind him. Immediately Allah says, you have discovered the munafiqs. This is a test for the munafiqs. You don't know, they are all praying behind you. These are the munafiqs. You know them. Yeah, Allah Rata Mechita, if you are faithful to him, it's about turn.
Right, that's right.
You do about turn. You don't ask questions. Is this from Allah? Yes, it's about turn. Why didn't you wait? Why didn't you wait?
It's a command, is it?
That white intimatism is nothing. You, why in Mauritius, how long are you with these Hindus? Did you ever deal with the message of Islam to a single Hindu in your life? Did you? They are all going to go to hell. He says, no. So Allah says, that is everything he will forgive, but not shirk. They are doing shirk, so Allah says, I won't forgive you. Put them into hell. And they are your brethren. You haven't done a thing. You think Allah is going to leave you? Did that look? That guy, he picked himself up. He did it himself.
Exactly right.
This is not the most perfect of tapes. The most perfect way is this one. Maybe there are 1,000 other ways.
So
that's you better.
Exactly. This is what I told you. I told him that you are an attorney, I mean you should show us a better way.
Right.
I will convey it to
right.
you. I told
right.
him that.
Right.
Then after a while I think you were getting in the corner now. He said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I have to go now. I've got some other problems to push up to his one. So then I knew for myself that he was just trying to delay because he found that I was...
No, Tennessee, yeah. The guy, everybody is getting attracted to the guy. And he can't even speak good English. So the grammar is not taken anymore. But everyone says, did that. So, LLB, and nobody is talking about me and talking about Dida. Listen, look at him, man. Uncouth, barbaric, around which is the limb of the yoni, is a lot of no, that's jealousy. Shaitan. Same thing. Am I not better than him? But you're not giving me recognition.
Allah Ta'ala gave you, I will give you recognition. That's what I expect.
These things are there for different reasons. So the biggest discovery I made this last year, because the man came to me, Muhammad Isakhar from Jeddah. He's also as soon as I go there somehow. He just wanted to meet me. That he's got that feeling. So he said, how will you write a book? This booklet. About what? He said, about how to call the Hindu to Islam. He said, I'm a specialist. This is not my faith. It's just by the way of the 68th. I get pictured of jokingly is actually false. Even the false that if you take one, you go to the pharmacy. Then I take a look at him. I said, okay. I go, do you see the group there and all that? It was just like a joke, you see. But the videotape now, I said, when are you going to have another videotape? I said, right, let's multiply. But otherwise, it was just like a joke. I was entertaining the boys. Actually, I went to entertain them. This was not a serious lecture, going to the city hall and talking from Hinduism to Islam. That might have been something different. When you have all my own children, and I'm just talking to them freely, I want to, you know, I want to shake you up, shock you into the realization of what it is. That's I was just trying to do a job of it. And it became a bestseller. Well, look, it's not my and I said, no, I'm not a real qualified. I said, there are thousands of talents. They are the right people. They are qualified. They are in there. And alim, real learned people. I'm sure they have done some things. And if they have, you find it from me, I will reproduce it. He says, no, they haven't done anything. I said, all these thousands of alim, they haven't written a single booklet that you can give to a Hindu? He says, no. In this 1,000 years you rule that place, and in 1,000 years you couldn't produce a single booklet that you can give with a smiling face to the Hindu? Maybe the most diplomatic manner that you know. I'm going to ask one of them. He says,
soon as I do get checked, I will reproduce it. Give somebody a written it. We reproduce half a million. A million copies, give it to the Hindus in India. This way, this fact. You know, something, not, this is too strong.
This is strong.
I agree with you. I can give him that kasa, lingam, yoni, nanga, lana, purini, puja, karo. But if the guy doesn't know what is lingam, so I'm going to tell him. Okay, what it is. That means I'm telling him it's prick and push. This is going to create a problem for you. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to get massacred because of my book. So, tamara panike haru diplomatic word. Tamara diyo, I will reproduce it. A million copies. I can afford it. Kaise karna ek moti moti kitabo, encyclopedias. Then I don't want encyclopedias. I want a book. Why?
Okay,
wait.
How's
it like? Kadu?
Yeah.
Kadu?
Burger. Mighty burger. Chicken burger. Nice, I like it. It's worth it. That's what we like.
How much?
Two burgers for the price of one.
But you have to carry the two.
No, it's like they don't give, you can't separate them, like say there's one box for you, eat that burger, one box for you.
Yeah, you take half that you need and give half to somebody else. And to me, so Papa take it home.
But you don't like that skin. It's like they make the rule about that long.
Uh-huh.
And they make the it's just about, you know, they just bluff you that it's two burgers in one.
Mm.
They make the burgers in like sausage shapes.
Right.
But they're not sausages. But they make the chicken into a sausage shape,
uh-huh,
small enough. If you join those two to get the idea about a burger,
uh-huh,
size.
Uh-huh.
But then, since it's long and the burger's like long,
mm-hmm,
you think it's two. But it's equivalent to one. And Papa, I do something, you know where they say, Allah put you on this earth for a reason. I'll show you a perfect thing what you can do for the letters.
Right,
I need a pad.
Right.
A small page.
No, no, I need it. No, that's a card.
This pen is working.
Okay, this one is working. That one's also working. All right.
Now,
right.
We did this in science.
Mm-hmm.
We take five tins.
Mm-hmm.
We draw five tins in a triangular shape.
Right.
And then we put the other two on top.
Mm-hmm.
And we put one on top.
Right.
Now that one on top will be man.
Right.
The one in the bottom will be animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this one will be plants.
Right.
Plants. This one will be soil.
Right.
This one will be water.
Right.
And this one will be A.
A, right.
A, you know, breathing.
Mm.
Now we take a gun.
Mm.
Now, just say, all these powers are in your hands.
Huh?
Just say, not true, but just say. And you shoot down plants.
Right.
Now, without plants,
mm-hmm,
animals won't survive.
Right, and men won't
survive. And men won't survive.
Right.
So those three are out if you shoot down plants.
Right.
If you shoot down water,
right,
none of them will survive. Right. Soil won't survive. Without water, it can't get the enrichment thing. And without water,
mm-hmm,
everything will survive.
Right.
All this.
Right.
Now, if we take down man,
right, still
nothing happens. The animals will survive, plants will survive, air would survive, water would survive, and soil would survive.
Right, right, right.
So that proves
right
that
man is dispensable.
Yes, man, Allah put man on this earth for a reason.
Right.
Because if you can take it out, the earth will still, if he takes out man, the earth will still survive.
Right.
He doesn't need man.
Right.
Because he can still carry on with the animals,
right, right,
the plants.
So Allah tells you why he's created man. He said he's created man so that he may know him, Allah, that he may recognize Allah. Because man is the only creature on earth who can recognize Allah without seeing him. Hmm? He can reason. So look, all these things are made as he's following a law and an order. A system.
the earth is rotating on its axis. What speed? It's 24,000 miles, 1,000 miles an hour.
And you never go down any bit lesser or
1,000 miles an hour. So in 24 hours it makes a complete circuit. Right? It's neither going slow or fast. Suppose you speeded up the earth to 2,000 miles an hour. You know what would happen?
What?
No life.
How come? How come? It's way too fast.
If it goes too fast, then you won't feel it. You won't feel it. But the day will be half the day. You see? So as soon as the sun comes out, it warms, and before it starts cooling, again the sun. Or night time cool, before it can warm up, again cool. Again, it's a little warmer, again cool. So nothing can survive, everything dies. Plant life dies. If you slow it down, it will burn the things to death. And what? For 24 hours the sun is shining onto the plants.
No, 48 hours.
48 hours the thing is shining onto the plant. So by the time 48 hours, the thing is all crumbling, you know, going down. And then 48 hours night, so whatever survives now, the cold or cool of the night kills it. More life. If you double up the speed, more life. If you half the speed, more life. So now only men can see that. That this is following a law and an order. The earth is incarnate and axis of some 21 and some degrees. You know that? Do you learn that?
Yeah, I know.
It's an axis. Now, you see, you know, that means the earth is rotating like this. Not rotating like this. You know, a top, when you spin it, it turns. And it at times it appears that it's standing still. Because it's spinning so perfectly that it looks like it's standing still. But it's turning. It's turning. So let's say we say make a perfect job. Let us make the earth to be straight, not crooked like a trunk card. Suppose you did that. You know, no life.
Huh?
You didn't know that. They didn't teach you this.
No, because if you put it this way, it'll still rotate, but it won't
make. No. If it turns this way, then the sun is shining at the equator. The equator is there all the time.
And it's going right round.
So now, the sun rays, it evaporates the water. The water starts going up, and it falls, goes up and falls. Some of them reaches the North Pole. Once it reaches the North Pole,
because it is snow.
No, it becomes ice.
Oh yeah,
ice. Right? South Pole, ice. Gradually there will be no water left. Because nothing, because the sun is not shining to melt the ice. It's not shining to melt the North Pole or the South Pole. So everything keeps on repeating.
Evaporating
and going up. Whatever goes and settles down in the snow areas, finish. So there won't be any water left. No water, there won't be any sea left. Can you see? Because once the water goes and solidifies, and the sun is only shining at the equator. But because of the axis, it's giving time to, on the top level, you know, this is near the sun, this way here, the sun is rising at the bottom level.
And also if you put this, if the sun turns, is rotating like this, if it goes like this and rotates, then the is not shining in the middle, because the equator is in the middle of the earth. So it like divides itself to shine. If it only shines on one side, then the other side will be
cold. One side will be cold
and the other side will be boiling.
So all this, we can see this. It's a perfect order, a perfect law for us to see and to benefit from. Because the animal don't understand all that.
They eat.
The plant life don't understand all that. The only one who can see says, man, there is a master creator who made all this. Only who can appreciate that is man. This eye, look at the way it's blinking. The dust falls in. Lubrication. Lubrication is getting lubricated. Automatically it's getting lubricated. Your teeth. You know, if these were made of metal, it would have been worn away long ago. You know, worn out. 75 years old. Your grandpa, you still see that there, except for these two here. 75 years of using the teeth, and still there. No metal could have lasted. Do you know that? No metal could have lasted for 75 years. You use it and it's still there.
It tinted.
No, finish, it'll be worn out.
Because they were going to eat bones.
It's getting worn out all the time, but it's getting replaced. The calcium in the body is replenishing it. It's replenishing it. You didn't know that. As I say, it'll be finished. The thing is getting worn. It's getting sharper and sharper.
And it also made the order that put biting teeth in front, tearing teeth over here, and chewing teeth right in the back. Because you bite,
and the way it's been
teeth, and you chew, yeah, all in up. And it also, Allah even made a order for animals to eat the chain, the food chain. As the sun has the energy to produce the plants to be eaten by an insect or an animal, and an animal that can eat another animal or insect, and then that was to be decomposed back into the soil, and then to make plants, use sun energy, and carries on like that.
Abhaan ja phone?
Absolutely.
Nahir said they'll come. Yes, sir. I told him that this is going to be in Subay. You send it to him. You send him the program.
Yeah. No, he doesn't know about that. Canada, 18,000 or whatever.
Mm. Yes, he will come and see us.
Yeah.
So, he needs to come.
How did it go?
It went off very well. Yeah. A small congregation out there. The imam there, he is that extreme Sunni type, and he wanted to that the Jamaat boycott Tahir al-Qadri. So the Jamaat said, no, we don't want to enter into that controversy. So the Imam resigned.
Oh.
Imam, hey.
But Klassen, there's the books that you wanted
right.
To find out
right.
Which one
right. You want. So, Ketla Vadi, Pira Puri Javan Shetha?
For the first time, they said.
All right. So,
decomposer.
Yeah, it decomposes.
Yeah, all the. But do you know it's an insect?
No, bacteria, you mean?
No, decomposer. Now the late. Yeah, it is a bacteria, but the latest name is decomposer.
Uh-huh.
It's a. We saw a video of it that shows it how it goes into the cells of the thing. And made of meat. Which
right.
Is a plant.
Right.
So now the plant is dead and it's going to be eaten. You know, big. It's all roasted.
Uh-huh.
Now it needs to go back to its soil to enrich it.
Right.
So it's decomposing it.
Right.
Decomposing. So it's becoming funginess and it's eating away the thing.
Uh-huh.
But why it's becoming fungi? Because the sugar and all the other things added to it.
That's
not natural.
Right.
So it's getting fungi. But if you put a dead animal there, after 2 days it'll be gone. It'll be totally dead out into the soil.
It'll be eaten up.
Yeah. But even its bones.
Bones will be eaten up.
Yeah.
Nothing can happen.
She's eating still.
As soon as she's ready, I think we should move about quarter past. Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Inshallah. Just let me see this.